welcome to the Royals Rundown Podcast, the Kansas City Royals podcast in association with Inside the Royals. I am Jacob Melham, and joining me tonight, I have one of my co-workers, I guess, maybe one of my co-people over at Inside the Royals, Trey Donovan. Trey, how you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, doing all right. You know, it's football season here. I promise we won't talk too much about the Chiefs, but it's got me in a pretty good mood entering the work week, watching the Chiefs demolish the Cardinals tonight.
It's always fun watching the Chiefs win their season openers.
Heck yeah, that it is. We've gotten quite used to it. Not gonna lie.
I think it's last time we lost one was 2014. So
it has been quite a while. But honestly, today was a pretty good day for Kansas City sports in general. Kansas City Current, they're atop their standings right now. They won tonight, so good for them. And then also, our own Kansas City Royals, they avoided the sweep.
Yes.
Thank goodness for that. They finally got a win against the lowly Detroit Tigers. And Trey, you were just telling me, man, they eliminated who again from playoff contention?
The Detroit Tigers, second worst team in the AL Central.
Woo-hoo! Man, thank goodness. Hey, as long as the Royals can do something positive out of this, you know, maybe they can go play spoiler for a few other folks. I wouldn't complain at all, would you?
Oh, I wouldn't. Don't they have a couple series against the White Sox and the Guardians coming up?
So they're about to travel to Minnesota. I don't know if they can knock them out. They do have two more series against Minnesota, so maybe there's something there. But they have a really long series against Cleveland, so maybe there's something there, like a 6-game series against Cleveland to close out the year.
Oh yeah, it's getting real minor league baseball esque there.
Yeah. I know, right? And, you know, talk about minor league baseball-esque. We'll talk about the MLB rule changes later on in the show. And then plus, we got to talk about some other third base options. Man, I know you and I are both getting sick of seeing Hunter Dozier trotted out there feels like every dang game now.
It's been a couple games in a row, I think, that he's played third.
Yeah, but hey, we'll talk about that more a little bit later on. We do have to recap the Detroit series in full. Man, this was a tough Friday and Saturday game to watch, man. It was bad. A 10-2 loss, the 8-4 loss with all the weather stuff, and Heasley just did not look very good. It was just two games where you kind of had to toss your hands up and stuff, right?
Pretty much. I didn't watch the Heasley start, but I was like box score watching. It's not good giving up that many runs to a bad offense.
No, it's really not. And I was a little frustrated with the Lynch start in particular, because I didn't know what he was doing wrong. Just his four-seam fastball was getting absolutely demolished. Yeah. And the damage was done so quick. Like, what were the Royals going to do?
Well, not much against Joey Wentz.
Yeah, he was on fire, man. And you know, everyone on Twitter and everyone on the broadcast was talking about how he was a local guy, and you know how the Royals could have gotten him in the Ian Kennedy trade and things like that, and. Just everyone was riding the Wentz could have been a Royal train that night.
Yeah.
What did you say?
I was just agreeing with you.
But hey, look, I don't know. It's a little frustrating at times, but I remember a couple of months ago, I was saying like, hey, they're going to bring up the young guys. It's going to be frustrating at times. But they're getting their at-bats, they're getting their opportunities. And honestly, it feels like most of the young guys are getting their opportunities at a decent clip. You know, if you would have told me 2 months ago we would have had Drew Waters and Nate Eaton start in the outfield, I would have slapped you silly.
And they're producing?
What'd you say?
And they're producing at a decent rate?
Exactly. And but that's just because they have the experience with some more time in Kansas City. So I am happy to see that. But this team is going to take their lumps on the chin. It was good. You know, August was really, really kind to the Royals. And I got my hopes pretty high. Right now they're 3-6 in September, so they're not doing awful for a young team. They haven't gotten swept in quite a while, so that's count for something, right, Trey?
That's progress.
Yeah, it really is. I just have to chalk it up to that, I guess.
As bad as not getting swept sounds, yeah, it's still progress.
It is. Well, hey, and let's just move past the Detroit series. I'm not going to dwell on it too much longer. There was some good, but most of it was bad. Let's look forward to the future a little bit as the Royals travel to Minnesota to face the Twins. And that could be another team that the Royals really play spoiler to this to close out this season. They got a 3-game series. Minnesota, they're currently at 69-70. 4.5 games back, you know, 2 losses to the Royals could really, really do some damage to them in the standings. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're Minnesota, you definitely need to at least win 2.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it gets slimmer and slimmer, your chances.
It really does. And their chances right now behind the Guardians and the White Sox, the Twins' chances to make the playoffs are only a little north of 7% right now, according to ESPN. Like, the Twins have been on a terrible slide. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Like, they're worse than the Royals, believe it or not. But so I really do hope that they can go and get a couple of wins in Minnesota. Do you think this team can?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I feel like some Royals play very well in Minnesota, Salvi.
Yes, so true.
I expect, you know, I could see a 2-win series for the Royals.
Okay. If
Minnesota keeps this slide going.
Well, let me pour a little bit of water on that fire for you right now. The 3 projected guys to start in Minnesota are Chris Bubich, Zach Greinke, and Daniel Lynch. I don't have a whole lot of trust in those guys right now, man. Not going to lie.
It depends on which Chris Bubich we're going to see, and it depends on which Zach Greinke we're going to see.
Yeah, that's really the truth. And I remember earlier on in the season, it's been a while since I've taken a look at it, but Zach Greinke was absolutely atrocious on the road. Do you remember that?
Oh, he has like some ridiculous home away splits.
Yeah.
He's elite in Kauffman, but not good anywhere else.
It's the strangest thing, especially for a guy of his, what a prestige maybe would be the way to put it. He ain't what he once was, but you know, he's still got some respect around the league, I imagine.
Yeah.
But that'll actually be a pretty good pitching matchup. Hopefully he's going to be facing Sonny Gray in the second game. So I think that'll be really nice to watch.
It could be a pitcher's duel. If I recall when the Royals went up to Minnesota earlier in the year, Sonny Gray went like 7 scoreless, only giving up 1 hit. Well, that's not good for the Royals, but
it was a good pitcher's duel. And that's got to count for something, right?
I think it was a pitcher's duel. I could be wrong.
No, it was. I'm looking at the log right now.
Ah.
But hey, I'll take it. So, Trey, give me a, I mean, you've been watching a little bit of the recent games, right?
Yeah.
Give me who do you think is going to have a good series against Minnesota, especially these young guys? Who do you think is going to stand out
of the young guys?
Yeah.
I think Drew Waters is going to continue his stretch of pretty good hitting.
All right.
Michael Massey could be interesting. He's kind of had an up and down so far, but I feel like Target Field, I couldn't remember their park for some reason, could benefit his bat style, yeah. I guess, his hitting style.
Yeah, that's a great point. I definitely have to go back and see some of the park splits. You know how Baseball Savant provides that. I have to go back and look at some of those splits, see how Waters and Massey are looking in Target Field. But, I mean, I just kind of got to throw your hands up because some of these guys are actually doing pretty good lately. Michael A. Taylor, I feel like he's really turned it around.
Ever since Jordan wrote that article on him.
I know, right? Goodness gracious. Thank you, Jordan Foote, for fixing Michael A. Taylor.
Thanks for beating me. What is that? I was also, thank you, at that time, I was also going to write a Michael A. Taylor article, and Jordan beat me. I was like, you know what? That's fine.
He can have that.
he fixed Michael A. Taylor. That's all that matters.
Yep. That is all that matters. Well, hey, speaking of entertaining games, you know, a pitcher's duel ain't for everyone. But in the name of entertainment and safety, Major League Baseball did come down with some pretty, I would say, massive rule changes. Like these aren't things that someone can just pick up by watching the game next year. Like these are some really big changes coming next year. The pitch clock, all the little rules about, you know, when you can step off and step on the mound. The larger bags are a big thing. They were 15 inches square. Now they're 18 inches square, which does not sound like a lot until you see a side by side. It's actually a really big difference. And then a very, very divisive change is going to be the restriction on the shift. Now, before Trey and I get into it, Kansas City's own manager, Mike Matheny, had some thoughts of his own on the new rule changes.
I'm in favor of all of them. Pitch clock, you know, we are talking so often, especially with as young of a pitching staff as we have, about pace, about tempo, about keeping the defense engaged, let alone keeping the fan base engaged. And we get some guys that really just take too much time, and actually I believe they're overthinking at times, and instead of just getting on the mound, making your decision, and then making your pitch. But I also think that the position players are just as guilty, taking forever to get into the box, wanting to hear two verses of their favorite song before they stand in, stepping out every pitch. I mean, it just gets to the point where it's taking away from the flow of the game, and that's the feedback we're getting from our fans as well. I think those are good. And also the style. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of the competition committee for a while to understand it and to see how much effort went into the why behind these changes. And this is from a large data bank of feedback from the heartbeat of what we do, which is our fan base. And they want to see more action. And so the bigger bases, you're going to see more bang, bang plays. I think you're incentivizing putting the ball in play late in the count and hopefully having a better chance to beat out a base hit. And our fans love the action that happens with the steals, and you're going to see that become a bigger part of the game as well. So for me, the shifts, I've never been a big fan of the shifts. I was one of those that believed, okay, it will evolve to the point where the left-hand hitters will start taking advantage of the wide open left side, but it just never did happen. And so it's, once again, it's amazing now watching every game and seeing the shift still in action, saying, you know what, next year that's a hit, next year that's a hit. It's going to be interesting as we're trying to pick up the pace of the game and overall time of length of game with how many extra hits that we're going to have now because you cannot shift, how that's going to affect. But overall, I think it's a step in the right direction.
All right, and we're back. So, Trey, we were talking about this a little bit before we started the show. Out of those three rules changes, what is your least favorite?
My least favorite is probably the shift ban. And I'm not like for or against banning it. I see why they banned it, but it also takes away, I guess, the quote unquote strategy of the game.
Yeah.
But I feel like the reason the shift was banned was because pitching is very good right now in baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for hitters to, like, I guess, go the opposite way. Some hitters. So I feel like if they ban the shift, they're just going to keep the mound, like, distance where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, move it back or what was the other fix? Lower it or raise it?
It was, I believe it was raise it.
Yeah. So, I mean, banning the shift has its pros and cons. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more three true outcome players who are going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at that rate, it's two true outcomes.
That is very true. But I will. So I do have to say, I think the underrated rule change has to be the bag changes, man. Like, this is I think this is really going to promote some more base running kind of strategy. You know, you're talking about taking away the defensive strategy of the shift. How are base stealers going to play into the new pitching rules and larger bases, which I think will benefit going from first to second. What do you think?
Yeah, the larger bases will definitely help base stealers. And I see why they changed it. They want, you know, they want more stolen bases. They want more action on the base paths, yep, which makes sense. But there's also the chance that there's going to be so many, like, a lot less, like, caught stealings, because players aren't going to fly off the bag anymore.
Right.
And I mean, that's good and bad, but catchers are going to take a hit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And defensive metrics for that is going to change.
Isn't that the truth? I think we can see a lot of defensive metrics change on how important they are with the shift restrictions as well.
Yeah, that's true. Because we're not going to see, you know, Nicky Lopez and shallow right field make a diving catch.
Exactly. Anymore. Exactly. Those little things. But I do have to say, I am intrigued to see how players adapt to these new rules entering 2023, because they're going right into effect. Like, there's no waiting period. There's no slow ramp up. Like, they next season, hey, you better get ready. These are coming.
Yeah, it's crazy, because wasn't the pitch or of those rules, wasn't the only one that was, like, implemented in any league was minor league baseball with the pitch clock?
Yes, to my recollection. So I don't believe that there were shift restrictions in minor league baseball. However, I do know that some of the AA teams were experimenting with the different bag sizes. The largest base size that I saw personally was 21 inches, which is absolutely massive.
That's huge.
Yes, exactly. Especially compared to that 15 inches. But yeah. That wasn't like a league wide or a division wide issue. So the only one was the pitch clock, which I do have to say, comparing games from 2021 to this year, or sorry, excuse me, pre-COVID to this year, I got the Norfolk Tides just down the road from me here. And the games do go a lot quicker. I feel like the speed really makes it feasible to go and see a game on a work night. You know, before, if I was going to go see a Tides game on a work night, I knew I wasn't getting home until like midnight maybe. But now I can get home around 11-ish. It just makes it a little bit more palatable, you know?
Yeah. And also, I feel like the pitch clock definitely helps. Obviously, pace of play has been an issue.
Yeah.
MLB is one of the fix. But I think implementing the pitch clock will just help fans get into the game more. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, it doesn't take up 4 hours or 3.5 hours to four.
Exactly.
It's more on pace with football games where it's, you know, 3 hours-ish.
Yeah. And that was the big positive from Sunday's Royals game, because it was a super short game. It was one of the shortest in like the past decade at Kauffman. It was 2 hours and 11 minutes, and I only heard good things about it. I know it was a Royals win, so that always helps. but it was just going. It was up and down and got in, got out, right?
Yeah. And that also means, like, you know, the pitchers are going at a good tempo. Yep. Obviously, Singer was on, well, he was kind of on his game.
Yeah, he was. I would say so.
Definitely a good bounce back from his recent starts.
For sure. For sure. And I just think, to kind of wrap up the rules changes real fast, I think we both can agree that these rules changes, while they might talk about safety or integrity of the game or blah, 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 most of them are to try and get more fans in seats and try to get more viewers on TV, because you want, if you restrict the shift, then that means higher batting averages. That means more players on base. It means more steals, more action on the diamond. What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why they made these changes. They want baseball to be more of an action sport rather than, we're just going to take a minute between each pitch to actually do anything.
And can you blame them? Like, it's hard to try and get a non-fan into baseball because it's just so dang slow sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I've heard so many people say baseball is the most boring sport.
And you can't really blame them. So, but I am interested to see these in action 2023 spring training. So the last 21 games of the Royal season are the last games you're going to see with the shift. So make sure to take it all in while you can, old timers. Oh, man. Well, hey, Trey, as I suck at transitions, obviously, Lucas and I used to ask folks, like, what their favorite ballpark food was or who they wanted a statue of, things like that. I do have to ask, what is your favorite baseball movie?
Ooh, that's tough. Because there's so many good ones.
There is. There's a lot.
I think if I go off of, like, ones I've seen the most that I love, it'd probably be The Sandlot or Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Those are very basic and very popular, but there's just something about them. I just love it.
Yeah, and that's how I am with Field of Dreams. Whenever I see it on TV or whenever I see it on streaming, it's one of those few movies that I'll sit down. I've seen it dozens of times, but I'll always sit down, watch it. I always get emotional every time. I love it, man.
It's such a good movie.
It is. I also really like the eight man out one. Have you seen that one?
I don't think I have. Yeah, no.
That one, I really found that one interesting. Like a baseball period piece. I wasn't ready for that, but I think it's pretty cool.
I'll have to check it out then.
Showing some of the bad side of baseball. Yeah, the edgy side. Oh, moving on back to Royal stuff. One of the big complaints about the past few Royals lineups is the fact that Hunter Dozier is still there. Now, we've talked on the podcast before about Hunter Dozier is going to be sticking around for the Royals for the foreseeable future, mainly because of his contract. That's a pretty big pill for Royals ownership to swallow if they designate him for assignment, which I don't see happening, no matter how bad he performs. But the thing is, he's not doing very well, but he's still getting starts at third base because, frankly, there's not another viable candidate to go to the hot corner on a consistent basis. We've seen Bobby Wood Jr. out there a lot for sure, but I don't think the Royals are really too keen on Bobby getting too much time out there at third base. What do you think, Trey?
Yeah, Bobby Wood Jr. is not going to be the third baseman of the Royals. He's the shortstop. Yeah, he's had a rough year defensively. In a volume factor, he's been up and down. Mm-hmm. But he makes a lot of elite shortstop plays.
He does.
And while, he'll have, a mental lapse here where he like can't transfer the ball well, or he, you know, just misses a ball. It's he'll be fine. He's going to be a good shortstop.
You're right. And it's just some of the growing pains. It's still his first year in Major League Baseball. He's still a rookie. Just give the guys some time. I have been a proponent of him going to third base on a more permanent basis. I'm not going to lie to you, Trey.
So have I.
But we do have to say, at the end of the day, you and I, we don't make any dang decisions on game day. That's all the managers, and that's, you know, the front office probably has their hands in it as well. So I imagine Bobby's going to, for good or for bad, he's going to stick out the rest of the year at shortstop. So I wanted to talk to you, Trey, about there's 21 games left this season. That's 21 opportunities for someone to start at third base other than Hunter Dozier. If you had to see, I'd say, 10 looks, 10 starts for one player at third base, who would it be other than Dozier?
First option would be probably Nate Eaton. And I know he has been actually really good in the outfield.
Yeah.
But he was a pretty good third baseman in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And he is technically listed as a third base slash outfielder. So I think it'd be interesting to see if his defense in the corner outfield translates to third.
Yeah.
Because he has an arm. He's shown it off.
Yes, he has. And we do have to acknowledge he's gotten three quote unquote opportunities at third base on the major league level, but it's only been three innings. It's been three separate outings. And I don't count that for too much, but go ahead. What were you saying, Trey?
That's actually pretty much what I was going to say.
he just doesn't. And I don't know what the reason is, because when Eaton moved up to AAA Omaha, he just stopped getting looks at third base for some reason. I think this year he only had four starts at third base, despite that being his main position in Northwest Arkansas. So I don't know if the Royals saw, because at that time they would have had a hole for that fourth or fifth outfielder at the time. So maybe they said, hey, we need to get him seasoned in the outfield, so let's take him out of the third base role and just see what happens. But I really, man, I was talking to someone through messages earlier on, and it just got me so pumped up. Like, you know, maybe that's Eaton's spot, right?
I think long term he could be a third baseman. I mean, the Royals are pretty much devoid of third base prospects until Caden Wallace, if he develops well.
Right. Which that's a whole nother question, right?
Drew Saylor will coach him well, like he's done pretty much everyone in the minor league system.
Hey, in Saylor we trust, man. You already know it. But I guess the only other person I could think of in the majors right now would have to be Nicky Lopez. I don't think Nicky has been awful at third base.
Yeah, his defensive instincts will always be helpful, whether it be at shortstop, second base, or third.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a third baseman.
No, he's not. He's not a natural third baseman. I ain't going to disagree with you there.
I think the last time he actually played third was in his college days at Creighton. And even then, he didn't play a whole lot.
No. And I think this year he only has less than 20 appearance or 20 starts. It is at third base. He has 25 total appearances, but 18 starts at third base for the Royals this year. So, I mean, not even the Royals view him as a legitimate third base guy, it seems.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, even in that limited time, like the defensive metrics actually like him. Like, yeah. He has two outs above average, one defensive run save. That's not terrible.
No.
For a non-third baseman.
And I think the other positive that would come from that is that opens up that second base spot for, you know, maybe we can see more Massey. There's a couple of other infield prospects that are going to be knocking on the door in 2023. And I just thought of this. We were talking about the shift restrictions earlier on. Wouldn't, in, you know, only in emergencies, wouldn't having Nicky on the same side as Bobby probably be a good thing?
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good thing. That'd be a really good left side of the infield defensively.
Yeah.
And that you can interchange them if you really want to for some reason.
I couldn't give you a reason why, but they'll probably think of something, right?
Well, probably. Or they'll just keep trotting out Hunter Dozier.
Jeez Louise. I really hope they don't. So, look, Trey, we're almost out of here, but let's just riff on Dozier a little bit here. So he's got two more years on his contract. Do you really see the Royals riding out this thing until the end for two more full seasons?
I mean, I really hope they don't.
Yeah.
But they might. Like, it would be so much easier to not rag on his defense so much if he was just an average bat.
Yes.
Like he was early in this year.
Because no one was saying anything bad about Hunter Dozier the first half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I even wrote an article saying, yeah, he's been pretty good with his boomer bust approach. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, 3 months later, that same approach has led him to not be good.
It's gone from boom to bust.
Exactly.
And honestly, if you want a way to look at his overall career trajectory, it's mostly been labeled as a bust rather than a boom. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But
it's still the funniest aspect of Hunter Dozier is that in college he was a shortstop.
I know. I couldn't imagine.
How is that possible?
You moved like that? What?
Like, he can barely get one ounce above average at first. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. Literally, his the rest of his contract, he just needs to be a decent bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I'll put up with it. Maybe he even gets some trade value.
Maybe.
That's unlikely, but who knows? He's kind of always been semi-streaky.
Mm-hmm. He has.
But he'll never have a, you know, what, 2019?
Yeah.
He'll never have that again.
Nope. That is, that's unfortunately, I hate to say long gone, but he hasn't really shown any signs of reclaiming that pre-contract extension magic again. So I just hope I wish him all the best in anywhere but Kansas City.
Yeah, pretty much. And that he could be a change of scenery guy.
He could. He really could. I mean, hey, we saw how well that worked out for Andrew Benintendi, right?
Yeah.
With
Merrifield.
Well, hey, he did good coming from Boston, but leaving Kansas City has been a mixed bag.
Yeah.
To say the least. Well, hey, if you're still listening, just a reminder, the Kansas City Royals still are not eliminated from postseason. So just watch the Royals, see if they go on a 21-0 run. And if everyone else goes 0-21 for the rest of the season, who knows? Maybe we'll have an unexpected, magical 2015 run again. Right, Trey? Right?
Yeah. And then we can get Moneyball 2.
Yes.
The Royals edition.
It'll be made by Disney this time, though.
And not have Brad Pitt.
Ooh, okay. All right. Hold on. You brought it up. I got to say, who would you have play Dayton Moore in that movie then?
I actually have no clue. I don't know who could portray Dayton Moore that well. I mean, it'd have to be a Christian.
So I, and this is going with the joke, so bear with me, man. Do you remember the Left Behind books?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember they made a couple of movies off of them?
Ooh, did they?
Yeah, and there was the a, books. There was a, hold on, I've got to Google this up. There was a guy who was in a lot of, like, early 2000s Christian movies, I guess. And, oh, man, I could see his face. Kirk Cameron.
Ooh, Kirk Cameron, yeah, that actually.
He actually kind of, I can see it. He kind of looks like him, in my opinion. But
oh, yeah, I think that'd be a good fit, actually.
Sad but true. That would, I'd pay to see it.
And it works well because I believe he is, yeah, he's Christian. Perfect.
Yeah.
Found the perfect portrayal for Dayton Moore.
Yep.
Moneyball 2.
Exactly. Moneyball 2, I wouldn't even know what to call the season. This season has just been that mind-numbing at points. All righty, Trey. Well, hey, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Do appreciate it. For our folks who are still listening, where can they find you on social media?
My Twitter handle is at TDonova7. That's pretty much my only social media.
There you go. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. A small social media footprint is kind of necessary at points.
That's true.
But also, more importantly, do you have anything coming up on Inside the Royal soon?
We'll see.
Yeah,
because I know I announced a couple days ago that I am now a sports editor for the Baker Orange.
That is true. Congratulations.
Woohoo. Someone had to do it.
And that someone is you, man.
Exactly. But we'll see. There, I told Jordan that it'll be more sporadic than weekly.
Okay. Well, hey, nothing wrong with that, man. You go do good work for the Baker Orange. But if you want to keep an eye out for Trey's work on Inside the Royals, you can follow Inside the Royals at Inside Royals on Twitter. Jordan Foote, he's also posting all of our articles on Facebook as well. Or you can just check us out at the website. Google up Inside the Royals and you'll find us there. So, Trey, any parting shots for me?
Hopefully the Royals play well in this last 21-game stretch, and go Chiefs.
Hey, there we go. I think that sums up the Kansas City fan base real good.
Pretty much. It's September. No one cares about baseball.
Yep. Sad but true.
Except for us. Hey,
except for us. Except for us. Well, hey, everyone out there still listening, thank you very much for joining us today, tonight, whenever you are listening to the podcast. Please tune in next time. I will be having Lucas Murphy back on the podcast for that episode. But thank you again for listening. And until next time, go